The other Wednesday night I talked about success, and the title of my message tonight is Success is Not an Accident. In fact, I'm planning on doing several sessions on success, talking about the different aspects of being successful. You know, it seems that when I teach and preach, it seems like most of the time I'm teaching about being successful with God and are having victory according to what the Word of God says. And, you know, too many people are waiting for their lucky moment or something, you know. Some people are waiting passively until success comes. Success never comes to a passive person. Some people are waiting for their break. Well, most of the time you make your own break by hard work and by, you know, I never made it onto a ball field by waiting for a lucky break. I made it for, I've become successful by working hard at learning my position and how to play my position. You know, some people are waiting on God. Well, that's a misnomer. You know, God's waiting on you because He's already told us in the Word that He's done everything He's going to do. Now it's up to us to get it. Hello. You know, some people say, well, if somebody achieved success, they say, well, they're lucky or they're just gifted. That's all there is to it. Or they're a genius. Are they exceptional? You know, success really is obeying God and doing His will in our lives. That's real success. You know, every day we need to choose to do things that will help us to achieve success in doing what God has said for us to do. You know, anybody ever heard of a fellow by the name of Stephen Curry or Steph Curry? If you watch basketball, you have. He said, success is not an accident, it's actually a choice. Then there's a life coach by the name of Tom Newberry. He said, success is a planned outcome, not an accident. Success and mediocrity are both absolutely predictable because they follow the natural and immutable law of sowing and reaping. If you're not careful, success becomes something that's indefinable. It's a moving target. You know, a certain poll that you read showed that most people think being rich is having approximately double what you have right now. So being rich becomes a moving target because when you get to that point, then it's always moving. And if you're not careful, that's the way you view success in life. It's always something that you don't have. Now there, you know, if you're following God's plan and obeying what He's directed you to do and achieving what He tells you to do, then you're being successful. Whether your friend thinks you are or whether anybody else thinks you're successful or not, if you're where God told you to be doing what God told you to do, then you're successful. You know, achieving the American dream does not always equal Bible success. How big or how profitable you are doesn't always define success. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those, okay? Reaching a certain level of income doesn't indicate biblical success, and there's nothing wrong with reaching another level. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying sometimes we look at success as being something that it's not. Now, some of you look at me sort of strange, you know. Now, let's look in the Bible at some scriptures that show various people that were successful as they followed him. Now, I'm going to read these from the Contemporary English Version. One of the reasons I like to read sometimes from different versions, and sometimes I like to read this version because it sort of says it more like we would say it. Okay? In Genesis 24:1, Abraham was now a very old man. The Lord made him rich, and he was successful in everything he did. But Abraham had to follow God. Remember that. But he said he was successful in everything he did. Why? Because he followed God. In 26:12-13, Isaac planted grain, had a good harvest that same year. The Lord blessed him, and Isaac was so successful that he became very rich. But you have to go and read the other part of it. He did what God told him to do in order to get this crop. Then in Genesis 32:9, then Jacob prayed, "You, Lord, are the God who was worshipped by my grandfather Abraham and by my father Isaac. You told me to return home to my family, and you promised to be with me and make me successful. I don't deserve all the good things you have done for me, your servant. When I first crossed the Jordan, I had only my walking stick, but now I have two large groups of people and animals. Please rescue me from my brother. I am afraid he will come and attack not only me, but my wives and my children. But you have promised that I would be a success, and that someday it will be hard to count my descendants as it is to count the stars in the sky." Now here he's talking about he's become successful simply because he did what God told him to do. Here Joseph in 39:2. So Joseph lived in the home of Potiphar, his Egyptian owner. Soon Potiphar realized that the Lord was helping Joseph to become successful in whatever he did. See, sometimes we need to realize in our success that it's not all us, but it's God helping us. Let me understand where I'm coming from on this. All right. Now, look at this in 39:23. This is still Joseph. The jailer did not worry about anything because the Lord was with Joseph and made him successful in all that he did. He didn't say Joseph was bad. He said the Lord made Joseph successful. See, the jailer turned everything over to Joseph. And then in 1 Samuel 18:5. David was a success in everything that Saul sent him to do, and Saul made him a high officer in the army. That pleased everyone, including Saul's officer. David was a success in everything that Saul sent him to do. The reason he was is because he followed God. Now, Zechariah was Uzziah's advisor in 2 Chronicles 26:5 and taught him to obey God. And so as long as Zechariah was alive, Uzziah was faithful to God, and God made him successful. And then in 2 Chronicles 31:20, it says, even Hezekiah did while he was king of Judah, including what he did for the temple in Jerusalem, was right and good. He was a successful king because he obeyed the Lord God with all of his heart. These people were successful because they heard from God and they followed God's plan. You know, no matter what area of life you're in, doesn't matter. If you're obeying and following God's plan for your life, you know, you are successful as far as God is concerned. It doesn't matter whether I think it, you think it, or anybody else thinks it. You are a success. Say, I am a success as long as I follow God and his plan for my life. Now, in the book of Joshua, God told Joshua how to be successful in Joshua 1:8. We went over this before. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success in life. Now, the Voice translation says this: Let the words from the book of the law be always on your lips. Meditate on them day and night so that you may be careful to live by all that is written in it. If you do As you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success. Always. Not sometimes. Always. See, without hearing from God, I don't know how successful Joshua would have been. The context of this verse shows that God gave Joshua instructions on how to be successful in what God had called him to do. Now, as we get on into this and begin to look at Joshua as he led the children of Israel into the promised land, I want you to notice God gave him the plan to cross the River Jordan, told him what to do. He said, have the priests get the ark. And see, the ark was where the presence of God was dwelling. The Spirit of God was dwelling in the Ark of the Covenant. Remember when they built the temple, the Spirit of the Lord came into the temple and they couldn't go into it, but it was so strong. You see, and what did Paul say about us? You are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, here it is. You see, they had to pray or ask the priest in the Old Testament because they were living under a different covenant. We under a new covenant. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We can follow the plan of God as he reveals it to us. They had to go ask. If you go read David, he was always going to Samuel and asking Samuel, what should I do? Should I go to war? Should I do this? Should I do that? The reason is because he had the Holy Spirit up on him. He was anointed to be king, and that was it. But to know the plan of God, he had to ask the prophet. That's why so many people are getting the prophet's ministry mixed up in this day and age, because that the prophet's ministry of the Old Testament is not the prophet's ministry of today. All right. Now, look at this. God told him how to capture Jericho. Now, I could read it, but I'll just tell you, you know how it was. They got everybody ready. And they marched around the city one time for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he said, now during those 6 days, nobody said nothing. Nobody blew no trumpets. Nobody played any timbrels or anything. It was quiet. Now on the seventh day, they're supposed to march around seven times. But on the seventh time, they made a lot of noise. They blew ram's horns. They made noise. And what happened? Walls fell down. Now that sounds like a stupid way to capture a city. Come on now. You know. And then God, they went down after that, they went to Ai, and they got defeated in Ai. You can go find that in Joshua 7. And then God told Joshua what the problem was. He dealt with the problems, then he told him how to go back down there and win. He went back down there and he won. Why? As long as Joshua followed the plan, he experienced success in leading the Israelites. You know, like I said, we're looking at these people under the old covenant and they were successful. How much more should we be successful under the new covenant because we have the Spirit of God living in us? Now, if you want to know God's plan for success, number one, you got to be a person of prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, I'm going to read the Message version and the Christian Standard version. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. Now, I like to read some of these because I am not condoning any certain, translation when I read it. I simply read it because I think as I read it, it has a little, we get a little bit better understanding of it. And that's why I read it from that particular translation. How many understand that? You know, so many times, oh, he's reading from the Message Bible. He's in favor of the Message Bible. No, I'm not. I'm just in favor of some of it because it speaks a little more to our language. Some of it I don't like at all. Hello. The Christian Standard Version says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and incomprehensible things you do not know. Now, Jeremiah's word has challenged us to go to a new level in our praying here. This verse shows us that there's a lot more to God's plan than what we know. Now, you remember in Romans, it says when we pray and we get to a point in English that we don't know how to pray in English, we prayed as much as we know, then we are supposed to pray with the Spirit. Is that not correctly? That's when you see, you can pray about things as long as you know them. But when you don't know them, then you got to say, all right, Lord, I don't know how to pray this out. So you're going to have to pray it out through me. And as he prays it out through you, he'll bring revelation to do, because that's what the Word of God says, that the Holy Spirit will bring us revelation. See, God has a much better plan for us than we can ever think about for ourselves. You know, this is a good statement. If you can achieve your plans without God's help, your plans are not big enough. If you can achieve all of your dreams without help from God, you need to visit with him again. You need to go say, hey, I need to come talk about this. Now, our level of success will increase greatly when we learn the secret of praying. Hello. It's in prayer that the revelation of God's plan will be given to you and communicated to you. Now, these three things to pray for so you can have success. You need to pray for revelation. Ephesians 1. Now, I want everybody to turn to Ephesians 1. I put this in the King James because most of you, that's what you have. So here we go. Ephesians 1, 16. He said, I make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I got this, went to they had the Living Bible, and then they come out with the NLT, the New Living Bible. Living Translation, in other words. And, you know, then we had the King James, we got the New King James, you know. So this, I went back to the old, and I sort of like this. I never stop thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to see clearly and really understand who Christ is and all that he has done for you. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I want you to realize that God has been made rich because we who are Christ have been given to him. Now, we're not smart enough on our own to come up with a plan. God gives us a plan for our lives. That's what we need to do. We need to ask for the revelation. Now, my dad, his name was Kenneth Hagin. My name is Kenneth Hagin. But he prayed those Ephesians prayers there in Ephesians 1 and in Ephesians 3. He prayed those prayers every day, and he said people should pray those prayers every day. Now, my wife got me a New Testament, and it puts my name, you know, where it's saying you and us and all. It puts my name. I read that. You know, I had plans. I was going to be a geologist, a meteorologist, or a race car driver. But I think God had a far better plan. I know he had a better plan for impacting people. Being in the ministry was not my idea. It was God's. I didn't want anything to do with the ministry. I grew up in the ministry. I was born on Sunday and I was in church the next Sunday and I've been there ever since. I was there when they would knock on the parsonage door and say, "Brother, we was cleaning out our cellar and we thought, here's some stuff we've been here for. We thought you might could use you open it up, it's spoiled." You know, I saw how they, I didn't want nothing to do with it. You know, being here and working with Dad for 31 years wasn't my idea. I didn't want nothing to do with it. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you. I wouldn't even preach about faith. I'm serious. But because I followed his plan, I'm where I am today. You know. Then after I did, you know, I didn't want to go into ministry. I saw that in the youth camp. I saw that that film. Everybody else went somewhere. And here's where prayer comes in. I went to in the prayer room and pray. All the other kids went to, down to get sodas and milkshakes and all that down at the concession stand. I went in the room and started praying. That's where I made the commitment at 17 years of, or about 16 actually years of age. And then I went to Bible school, got into ministry, and then I was with my father-in-law's associate pastor, which God had led us to. Then I decided I'm going to leave there and go pastor my own church. And I even went to try out for a couple of them, and then I realized, hey, that's not what I need to do. So I just stayed there with him for 6 years. Then I came with Dad. You know, but all, see, God knows your future better than you do. John 16:13. I'll read this New King James, as most of you probably have. "However, when he, the Spirit of the truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, he will tell you all things." Now this church building right here, it's an example of God revealing what we needed. Ross McCready was our architect, and he worked right here at the ministry. He'd draw plans, bring them to us. Something's not right. I don't know how many, what? A year or so, I think, he drew plans and brought them to us. Finally, he brought one. And, yeah, in our spirit, the revelation of the, hey, this is right. This is it. And you're sitting in it. You know, we tried to put the youth building all everywhere on this campus for, what, 6 years or so? But every time I start to put it somewhere, I say, that's not right. You see, I'm trying to get you to realize, hey, just don't do it because you think, hey, everybody was bugging me. Well, you just said you're going to do a youth building. You ain't ever going to get it done. I even had youth pastors say that. I said, yeah, it'll get done, but when it's right. Come on. See, you need to realize no matter how many anybody's pushing you, if it doesn't seem right, keep praying and keep trying to follow God. Finally, one day we drove by that blank. How many of you remember that where the youth building sat? That was just a blank piece of grass sitting there. How many of you remember that? It's been there for years. But we drove by. And, of course, Lynette and I, she said, we in this together. She said, what will it go there? And I said, what go there? The youth building. I looked at it. I said, yeah. And look, we got parking all around. We don't have to put any extra parking. And we don't have to do so many things. I mean, we tried to put it across the street. They wanted us to do so much to block lights from going in and plant all kinds of stuff and everything else. You see, the Holy Spirit, when it's right, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. But some people, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. You need to pray for God's wisdom. Amen. Now, I want to read this from the New King James first, and then I want to read it from the other one. Let's go to Proverbs 8, and let's go to 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and dissertation. Now, here in the CEV, it says, I, wisdom, can make you rich and famous, important and successful. Now drop down to verse 19 because there's all kind. And then it says in the New King James, it says, my fruit is better than gold, yes, fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the ways of righteousness in the midst of passive justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Well, we read it in the Contemporary English Version. Verse 19, what you receive from me is more valuable than even the finest gold or the purest silver. Always do what is right, and I give riches to everyone who loves me. Hello. Now, and then, you know, I'm talking about prayer. You need to remember, I said the first thing you need to do to be successful is pray. Then you need to pray for the power of God to be successful. Even in Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now, the Contemporary Version says his power at work in us can do far more than we dare ask or imagine. The New Living says, now all glory to God is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask. See, God wants us to be successful. And actually, as we begin to pray, actually we will be far more successful than we ever thought we were going to be through his power. You see, in prayer, ask God for power to be successful, to do things that you cannot do in your own strength. Ask God to move by his mighty power to bring the right contacts and resources that you need to be successful. You know, you need to learn how, and I tell people this all the time, especially if you're in sales, you need to begin to say, thank you every day. Thank you, Lord, for bringing people across my path. Amen. That I can come in contact with, that I can make a sale. Hello. See, whatever area you're in, you need to pray that the Lord will give you revelation and wisdom. Amen. To do that job. Amen. Y'all all heard me tell this. I'll tell it again, but it's right here. When I was going to Bible college, I was working on that freight dock, and old Sim's coming by. He is the foreman, and he's asking everybody, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And they all saying no, and all of them, everybody's coming by. They're all Bible. There's two carloads of us that rode up there. We worked there thinking we rode carpool together, two cars. And every one of them saying no. He asked me. I said, yeah, I can. Now, did I say that in my own strength? No, I'm depending on the God on the inside of me to give me revelation and knowledge to be able to accomplish that job. Amen. Let me understand where I'm coming from. Guess what? Some of us say, well, what'd you do? Well, I prayed about it, but I also asked a couple of guys that I knew that were doing something similar. And I also went, and then I don't internet back then, remember. You're talking about 59 or 60. And I went to the library and began to look up stuff. Now that's my part. Then I'm depending on God to help me when I get there and give me the wisdom and the knowledge to do what I do. See, there's some people, if God gives it to me, I'll do it. No, you got to do something yourself. Remember, it's a two-way street. The natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. Hello. So what I'm trying to say to you tonight is real Bible success starts with finding out what God's plan is and then asking for wisdom to be able to accomplish it all. Now, let me say this. God is not going to call everybody into pulpit ministry. Even if you go to Bible school, he may want you just to work a regular job and then help in the church. That's just as much ministry as anything else is. Then there are some people that God blesses specifically for financial blessings for the kingdom of God. Hello? I know some of these guys. There are some people that, like Brother Howard Pillars. How many of you know Brother Howard Pillars? He has been an usher in this church since 1985, the first Sunday that it opened. And he told me one time, he said, Pastor, this is my job. This is what God wants me to do. And he's been doing it since 1985. See, there's some of you just need to settle down and do what God got you, where God's got you, and just keep on going. Don't be looking for something else. You see, I stayed doing associate pastor till God said move. I stayed working behind the scenes in Kenneth Hagin Ministries until God said it's time to step it up. See, I know all of you want to be successful. Well, meditate on the Word of God. Pray. Make it a matter of prayer. When opportunities come, make it a matter of prayer, because every opportunity is not what God, I don't care if it looks good, smells good, tastes good. I don't care. It may not be what God wants you to do. I've had a lot of opportunities come, but they weren't what God wanted. So I stayed put. Anybody getting anything out of what I'm saying tonight? Well, that's just one lesson. We'll have several before it's all over. Everybody stand up. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that from your word, I know you want me to be successful, both spiritually and naturally. I will do my part, and I expect you to do your part by giving me revelation and wisdom about the plan, and I'll follow it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I trust you'll get something out of these lessons on success. Now, they're probably not going to be preaching lessons, but they're probably just going to be teaching lessons like I did tonight. I sometimes preach and sometimes I just teach. You know, the great thing about this church is that we with Craig and Marvin and Tad and Bill and Lynette and Denise, we have all kinds of different people ministering to you all the time in different ways. How many realize that? You know, that's why I don't have a lot of visiting speakers. I mean, we got just about everything here. And then if I need to go somewhere else, well, then I got Doug Jones and Tony McKinnon and all these guys that are ministers that work in Rhema minister, Joe Dunnick, the missions director. Hey, we got, y'all don't realize the value that you have in having these many different ministers be here to speak to you. Some of you don't realize that. And if you ever notice, most of the time we build on one another. Hello. Praise God. I trust you got something out of this tonight. If you happen to be here with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, well, you got to know him before you can get into his plan. If you know what it is to serve Christ, then you need to rededicate your life. If you would like to receive the Holy Spirit tonight, if you need prayer for any reasons, any one of those reasons, any other reasons, the ladies over here, the men's over here, in a moment when we're dismissed, if you'll come forward here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, connection team, go find a first-time guest. We're so glad to have you with us. If you're looking for a church home, you found it right here. What do we say, church? So glad to have you with us. Welcome home. Like Marvin said, if you're just passing through our area, then make this your home away from home every time you're in the area. We were so glad to have you tonight. Let's give our guests a good hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Well, Sunday morning right here. Come believing, come expecting. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be here to minister. And then remember all the announcements, okay? Remember, go right ahead. That's fine. Thank you. Go right ahead. Hallelujah. Come on down. If you need to come down, come on down. Like this young lady did right over here. Praise the Lord. Just come on down. People will minister to you. Go right over here to the ladies over here. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We'll see you Sunday morning right here. God bless you. Come with somebody and say, I'm going to make my way a success. How about you? God bless.